You go ahead and get out your notes. We'll be looking at different things, and eventually we're going to end up in John 17. And for that, you'll need your Bible open. So if you want to just go ahead and get it open to John 17 and leave it there, and we're going to talk about some things that are going to lead us up to that. But we've been talking about being a house of prayer, a house of prayer for all nations. And God has really spoken to me on this, guys. This is the key. He says that if we get this part right, He'll take care of everything else that needs to be done. I truly believe that. You know, my greatest desire, my greatest like heart desire and thing that I live for is to see people come to know Jesus. Y'all share that? Do you kind of share that in your heart? That you want your neighbors, you want your family members to know Jesus? Because guys, if they don't know Jesus, do y'all know where they're going to end up? Can you tell me? Hell is real. Just like heaven is real. Jesus actually spoke more about hell than he did about heaven, guys, because he wanted us to know he cares. He loves us. And so we don't want people to slip out of this world not knowing their Savior. You know, one day I asked Jesus, I said, give me your heart for the lost, because I just don't believe I love them like I should. Just like dear brother Harold was talking about weeping, you know. I had never really just felt like weeping for the lost before. It just never had struck me that way. And I knew Jesus cared. Look how much Jesus cares. You know, he came to a stinking, dirty old earth full of sinful people and lived among us for 30 years before he even started his ministry. And then he ministers, and whenever he tells people the truth, they follow him as long as he's giving them something. But as soon as he tells a lot of them the truth, they walk away from him, and they revile him, and they look down on him. You know, it's still the same today. You know, guys, when we don't do what Jesus wants us to do, we're doing the same thing. We're hurting his feelings like that. And you know, he still stays so patient with us. Why is that? Because he loves us like we can't even imagine. He loves the lost. You know, Jesus looked over Jerusalem. Yes, he did weep. There was twice that Jesus was said that he wept. One time was whenever he was with Lazarus' sisters and family, and they were weeping because Lazarus had died, and it broke Jesus' heart. He wept with them. And there was another time he wept. When was that? Do y'all remember? He looked out over Jerusalem. It was after the triumphal entry, whenever they said, oh, you know, you're our king. Save us now. And he came in and he looked down over Jerusalem and he wept. Y'all remember what he said? If only you knew. If only you knew what would save you. I'm not here to save you from the Romans, in other words. I'm here to save you from your sin. And if only you knew that following me is that salvation. But you wouldn't do it. He knew that they were going to reject him and that many of the Jews would even reject him after he rose from the dead. And that he said, if only you knew that they were going to come. And he was speaking of 70 AD and destroy this entire city because you didn't recognize the day of your visitation. It broke his heart. You know, he wants our hearts to be broken the same as his hearts are broken for the lost. Amen. And we feel like we can't bear it. You know, we want to be happy for the moment. So maybe we just stay one step ahead of it, or maybe we just haven't. I think we need to ask God, give us your heart. Let it break ours. It breaks yours. You know, if we really love him, we need to have his heart. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I think that whenever we begin to have that heart, we'll also have a heart for prayer, because what we'll realize is we can't save them. Our hearts will be broken for them. We'll see them in their lostness. We'll see them and realize they are like we were. We were all lost at one time, guys. Amen. And I'm telling you that the only thing that makes the difference, you had a thief on the right and a thief on the left of Jesus, and the only thing that made the difference was the man in the middle. It was Jesus. Right. And you see, the one died hating Jesus. The other died after putting his faith in Jesus. One went to heaven, the other went to hell. And there wasn't going to be no remedy for it. It's the same way in this earth, guys. The only difference between us and them is the man in the middle. And we got to point to him. But you see, a lot of times we think somehow we can talk them into heaven, we can convince them into heaven, we can tell them enough and they'll get it. But what we realize is only God can convince their hearts. So yeah, we do need to tell them. I'm not discouraging you from it. But I tell you, sometimes I'm afraid we try to do too much in the flesh and not enough in the spirit. What we really need to do is pray twice as much or three times as much or 100 times as much as we talk. We need to talk to God. Jesus did. Remember last week we talked about that Jesus taught us how to pray. We talked about how He taught us the Lord's model prayer, and He taught us not to just do it as a show for others, to try to impress others. He taught us how to fast, too. He told us we would fast. And yet, so much of us reject that area because it's not comfortable to the flesh. Here's the deal. The flesh gets in the way of the prayer sometimes. So there's periods of time when we need to get the flesh out of the way because it keeps us from praying like we ought to. So He taught us how to pray. Now we're going to focus in that Jesus prayed. Now, He prayed partly to give us an example. But I think He prayed because He needed to as well. If Jesus prayed to stay close to His Father, and He came from the Father, He came from heaven, He was always with the Father, and He prayed, if He spent time in prayer, what makes us think we can get by without it? Can any of us really get by without prayer? Can any of us get through a day and really do God's will if we don't start out that day really seeking God in prayer? I'm thinking probably not, because you know what? Jesus sure didn't try it. And we're going to look at some different examples that Jesus' life here. And some of them kind of, as I went through this and I enjoyed the study in, and it, some of them kind of took me by surprise. And I'm thankful when God surprises me with new things, you know. I'm so thankful when He shows me new stuff. But whenever I was thinking about Jesus praying, I kind of did a study on the prayers of Jesus or the times whenever He prayed. And in this first one that you'll see on your sheet, we're going to put it up on the board as well. It's from Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 22, when all the people were baptized. This is back whenever Jesus was just getting ready to start His ministry. When all the people were baptized, John the Baptist was down there, and he was calling people to a baptism of repentance. And Jesus comes along, and He tells him, I need to be baptized by you. Can you imagine how humbling that was? But let's look at this scene. And when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while He prayed, the heaven was opened. Did you catch that? I got it underlined so we don't miss it. You see, I know this scene quite well. I know this scene because, like, Jesus came down to the river, and we read it in all the different gospel accounts. He comes down to the Jordan, and John's down there, and he's telling people that you need to get ready because the kingdom of God is at hand. You need to be repentant. You need to take this baptism to show that you're ready for your heart to be with, you know, it, with the kingdom of God, that you're getting ready. And then whenever he sees Jesus, you know, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. And then Jesus is telling him, I need to be baptized by you. He's humbled by it. Jesus is baptized. And in the other Gospels where it talks about, you know, how the Spirit descended on him in a bodily form like a dove, we're seeing it here in Luke. But in the other Gospels, I missed that part right before it. And while he prayed, Jesus was baptized. And when he came back up, what was he doing? He was praying. He was praying to the Father. And the Father, you know where the Father was? The Father was still on His throne in heaven. And I would just love to have heard what He said. But what I know is, while he prayed, the heaven was open. What significance is there? It's beautiful. It wasn't just the baptism. It wasn't just that he was being obedient. While he was being obedient, he was talking to God. He was in relationship with him. Remember last week we talked about what is prayer? Prayer is that holy communion between us and God the Father through Jesus Christ. Well, here's Jesus himself praying. Heaven's open, the Holy Spirit descended on bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Guys, I want you to know, he's still well pleased in his beloved Son, and when we come through Jesus in prayer, he's well pleased with us. Jesus is never more pleased with us than when we come to him. bringing our hearts and opening them up and spending time with Him. The Father is never more pleased with us, I don't believe, as when we're just sitting at the feet of Jesus listening for His response. It's pleasing to God. It was pleasing to God whenever His own Son did it. How much more as we continue to do it? Jesus prayed. He didn't just teach us about prayer. He prayed. Let's just look at His earthly ministry for a minute here. Kind of listed it out. I don't know. I probably didn't do a great job, but we're going to look at this next slide. So, in His earthly ministry, we know Jesus lived until He was about 30, and then He started this ministry. We know very little about His childhood, except for the fact that His parents lost Him. His earthly parents lost Him when He was 12. They had gone to Jerusalem for the feast, and they got 3 days, you know, got 3 days away from Jerusalem with a big family around them and everything, and they realized, where's Jesus? All right? Well, maybe they weren't 3 days, but within a 3-day period of time, they went back. And within that 3-day period of time, they find Jesus. Where is He at? He's at His Father's house reasoning with the leaders. And they're like, wow, where did He get all this wisdom? Right? Well, we know where He got it. He is it. He is the wisdom. You know, He is the Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. So how awesome is that? But then, whenever He gets to be 30, His time to enter His ministry has come. And so He goes, He gets baptized. We see that during that baptism, guys, He's praying. We just read it. He's praying. Okay? And then after the baptism, it says Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be prepared. To fast for 40 days. Okay? So what do you think He did during that 40-day fast? You think He just sat around and didn't do anything and starved Himself? No, it wasn't like that. He was totally focused in, totally concentrated, totally in prayer that whole 40-day time. That's what fasting's about, really. It's not like being on a hunger strike till God gives you what you want. It's more like getting the flesh out of the way so that whenever I would be worried about this food, I'm thinking more about spending time with God. And you see, during this time, His flesh was getting weaker, but His Spirit was getting stronger. Why? Because He needed to be in the Spirit to perfectly fulfill the Word of God. He needed to do this perfectly, and He was finding His strength from the Father. So He prayed during this time. We see the strength He came out of there with. He began to preach His Father's message. How did He know? Because He prayed. He was getting it straight from the Father over and over again during His earthly ministry. He said, I have come to do the will of my Father. He didn't say, I come to do my own will. He didn't say, I've come to do your will. He said, I came to do the Father's will. How did He know the Father's will from day to day? Because He stayed in close connection with Him. Amen. Through prayer. He was preaching His Father's message, and Jesus chose the 12 disciples. You know what? You know what He did right before He went and chose those 12 disciples? He had more people following Him. He had a lot of people. But He took 12 of them out of the bunch to be close to Him. It says He spent all night in prayer. You see, Jesus prayed, not just because He wanted to be an example to us, because He did it even when nobody was looking. Sometimes He sneaked away from them so He could get in that time He needed with the Father, all night prayer, so that He would know the exact 12 to choose. I know He was 100% God, but He was also 100% human. He felt what it was like to live in a fleshly body. He felt the weakness of the flesh. He felt temptation. How did He complete perfectly everything? Because He stayed connected with the Father. What makes us think we can do this without doing the same? Guys, we're weaker than Jesus. We need it more. Amen. Not less, more. Jesus, He does His Father's will the entire time. How did He do that? Because He prayed. Jesus died. He dies and He rises again on the third day. And guess what He's doing even right now? It's a little different because He's in the Father's presence. He's making intercession for us. As we pray, He is taking it to the throne of God for us. He's still involved in the process. Why don't we pray more? Sometimes I think we don't realize how really important it is. And so I really want to stress it, guys. It's important. It is astronomically important that we do this. Jesus did it. He showed us it's important. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. I just picked some quickie verses that just really expressed it really well. Go back and look these verses up in context and enjoy them, please. That's why I print this up so you can take this home with you. But look at what it says there. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness. And what did he do there? He prayed. Guys, he didn't do it for show. He didn't do it just for an example. He did it because it's necessary. For us to walk in faith with God, it is so necessary. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 23. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get in the boat. This was after feeding the 5,000 plus. And there's a huge crowd that's all pressing in around him. And he immediately made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, where did he go? He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when the evening came, he was alone there. Guys, it is essential that we get off alone with God. We must. We can't make it without him. We can't know what to do, how to please God, without getting with God every day. Every day, at least once a day. I would say more than once if we can. Spending time with God. Jesus did it. He said, guys, get in the boat. Get out of here. Get out of here. Do you ever feel like that? You folks that have kids all around you all the time? Get out of here. Give me a few minutes to think. Guys, he had multitudes. He probably had 20,000 people there that day because it says that the men, there were 5,000 of the men plus their wives and their children. He had all kinds of people pressing in on him. He had just done a miracle for them. He had fed them. Man, you feed people, you can't get rid of them. Amen? And so he's like, I need some time with the Father. I'm desperate for him. So you boys, get in the boat. Get on the other side. Don't worry. I'll find you. It'll be okay. So they went out there, and he let them struggle all night. He didn't go rescue them. You know why? He needed time with the Father. Amen. You know, guys, sometimes people are going to call on you, and you're going to be in the middle of prayer, and you know you need it. You know you got to have it, and you're gonna go ahead and answer the phone, and they're going to say, well, you need to come do this, or you need to come do that. And you're probably going to say, oh, they probably need me more than I need this. And I dare I say to you, if God's called you away, you take the time with him first. Amen. You know what? They'll figure it out for a minute. It'll be okay. You finish your time of prayer, and then you go tend to that need. Because I'll tell you what, the devil will keep pressing needs on you all the time if he can keep you from praying. Same way with going to church. You guys ever have that? You decide you're going to go to church on Sunday. Everybody in the world calls you needing help that day. Did you ever have that? Hey, you know what time they get my help? About 1 to 1:30. After I've been able to go to church, spend my time with the Lord, have time to get myself back together, and then we can deal with it. Okay? Very few times that there's ever a need pressing enough that it needs to take me out of church. Now, I'm not going to say it never happens, but it needs to be very seldom, and we need to make up our mind. We're not going to let that distract us. I'll tell you why, because here's the deal. If you ever let the devil win, he'll keep pressing it on.
Amen.
If we ever defeat him at it and just tell him, I don't care, I'm not listening to that no more. You know, he even tried sickness in our family. Y'all know that we as a family like to go to church together. Do you ever see me here without my family most of the time? No. I can tell you, whenever I was called to preach, the first few times I was called out to preach, there was sickness going through our house that was keeping us from being able to go together. And so we had to decide we were going to divide and conquer. And I would just say, honey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I have to leave you here. He did the same thing when we started going to church at first. We would wind up being sick. You know what? The people who weren't sick went to church. The people who were sick stayed home with one of the adults. We hated to split up for that time, but we found it to be necessary. And I'm telling you, what we found was, once we conquered the devil at it, he quit picking on us in that area. He'll pick on you in another area, but we need to overcome. We need to know it is desperately important that we do spend that time with God. Let's look at the next one here, Matthew 26, 36, 38. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. Y'all know about this. This is the garden. This is a garden. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee. Those were James and John. Peter, James, and John, they got to go everywhere with Jesus. They got to see him on the Mount of Transfiguration. I mean, out of the 12, these were the three. Man, they were in the in group. They were there. There was a reason for that. God had a special plan for what he was going to do with them. So he took them over with him to pray with him. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Think about that. He called them to himself to be a part of that prayer time, that special prayer time. How beautiful is that? Y'all remember what Jesus prayed during the garden? Did Jesus need to say that prayer? I think he desperately needed to say that prayer. Y'all remember what he prayed? He prayed three times. He said, Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass by me. In other words, if there's any other way that I don't have to do this cross thing, please let it be so. Amen. But he ended it with, not my will, thy will be done. Amen. He prayed it three times, meaning anytime God says something three times, he really means it. He really meant it. His flesh did not want to go to that cross. But he wasn't going to follow his flesh. He was going to follow his spirit. And it's important that we follow through with that. In fact, if we jump down, I got a scripture in between there on accident. Jump down not the next one, but the next one. And let's look at what he says there in Matthew 26, verses 40 through 41. And he came to the disciples and found them asleep. You ever do that? You mean to pray and you fall asleep? Don't feel bad because the disciples did it too, but we need to work on it, okay? All right, he found them asleep and he said, what? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Jesus knew how long it was going to be before they come to get him, okay? So he wanted them to be prepared for this. And he even says why. This is why we need to make sure that we pray when God calls us away with him. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation, okay? The Spirit, let's say that last part together. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Can we get an amen to that? Amen. Guys, my spirit is willing to do anything that God calls me to do, but so much of the time my flesh is so weak. You know why I need to pray? Because it helps get that flesh in line. It helps get it out of the way, just like the song. Help me get out. Help me to be doing your will so that I can get out of your way. Amen. And guys, that prayer is so essential in this. That prayer is so essential. Let's look at the verse or the verse that I had listed before this one, Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out on the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose the 12, whom he also named apostles. And so that's the way he knew who his 12 apostles should be, who his 12 disciples should be out of that whole group. Jesus wants us to pray because he knows that our flesh is weak. Jesus prays. Jesus continues throughout his ministry to pray. Look at chapter 17 of John. I promised you that we would get there. Jesus spoke these words, verse 1, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. And you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given to me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray that for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Do you hear his heart? Throughout this prayer, John chapter 17, this was right before the garden. Do you hear his heart? He's praying for his people. He's praying that we would receive his word as he gave it to his disciples, so also to those who will believe because of them. He goes on to pray. Guys, he isn't praying just totally for himself here. He isn't praying that God would take him out of the struggle. He's not even praying God will take us out of the struggles. He's praying that we will go through those struggles with him, strengthened by him. That is his desire. We read this prayer, guys. You are reading the prayer of Jesus. We don't get to read all of his prayers. Sometimes he went out into the wilderness alone, so we couldn't hear him. We get to hear this one. We get to hear his heart. This is the true Lord's Prayer. This is Jesus' prayer to his Father in heaven right before he's ready to go back. You hear his heart, he's saying, I'm going to get to be with you soon. I'm going to get to be with you again, Father. Amen. There's a part of him that's anticipating it, but he knows it's going to be hard, and he knows he's going to be leaving these guys, and he loves them. And he says, now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world. I have come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given to me, that they may be one as we are. This is desire for us even today, guys. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. God's name is holy. God's name is powerful. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. He is keeping us today. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. That was Judas. Some people say, well, maybe Judas didn't go to hell. He did too. Jesus just said so. Jesus just said he's lost. He's the son of perdition, the son of hell. He says, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, but just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. What is Jesus' will for us? That we be set apart by the word of God, by his truth, still to this day. He says, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself. Who? It's for our sake that he sanctified himself. You see, it's for our sake that he came and he went to that cross. He did the Father's will. And it's for our sakes that they also may be sanctified by the truth. He doesn't want us just to continue to wallow in sin. He wants us to be set apart, to do what his word says. And he goes on to say, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Praise God, the disciples were faithful. Amen. Because today we have it because they did it. They were faithful. Praise God because of his prayers for them. And that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's the greatest witness, is that we're one in each other and in Christ. Praise God. It says, in the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. In I and them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Remember what they said about the disciples? They said they're untrained men, but there's only one thing we know for sure. They were with Jesus. You see, they had that oneness, and it was apparent through them. Don't you want it to be apparent through us? That whenever we walk in this community, people would say, man, I don't know what's going on up there at that Cadet Baptist Church. All I know is those folks that come from up there look like they've been with Jesus. They look different. That's what we need to ask for, is that same anointing. He says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love which you loved me may be in them, with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Guys, right after that, he goes to the garden. Right after that, they gather him up, take him to this mock trial. Then he goes to the cross. Guys, those are his last words in prayer on earth. And it's that we may be one, that we may be sanctified, that we may stay in his word, that we may grow in him, and that eventually we may be with him in heaven forever. That's Jesus' prayer. And you know what? He is still right there in heaven right now, going, making intercession for us as we pray. I'm telling you, prayer is not a boring thing. Prayer is an exciting endeavor. This is where we get to have communion with God, and God will accomplish the things none of us can do. He is the one who has the power. He is the one who's able. And guys, we go to prayer like, oh no, I guess I probably need to pray again. No! Let us be excited about it, because we're following in the footsteps of Jesus. We're doing what he did. We are connecting with him with what he is doing right now. How awesome is that? You remember he told Peter, he said, Satan desires to sift you like wheat, but you will stand because I've prayed for you. You know what? Jesus just prayed for us right there. And you're going to stand. You know how I know? Because Jesus prayed for you. And you know what? He wants us to come together and pray to him, through him, for others. You hear what he was saying? So that others will know. Guys, this is it. You notice I'm really excited about it. Because God has shown me, if we'll just be a house of prayer, he'll do it. He's going to save our community. He's going to save those who are his. He's going to draw them to himself. He's going to do the work in their hearts as we pray. And I can tell you, as you pray for other people, you know another thing that's going to happen? You will be compelled to go tell them. You won't be able to keep yourself from doing it. The more you pray for somebody, the more you wind up loving them. The more you're going to have to go tell them. You know, I told you I asked for God's heart for the lost. Do you know when God showed me his heart for the lost? It was in a prayer. I was in a prayer service with probably about 15 people praying for a lost city. And God just touched me. He said, I died for them. And they would rather worship a man's tooth. They were worshiping Buddha in that city. And he can't help them. I died for them, and yet they don't know me. And I'm telling you, it just broke my heart. But here's the deal. What is Jesus doing right now? We alluded to it. Hebrews 7, 24 through 25 tells us. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always, you get that? Always lives to make intercession for them. He is making intercession for all who come. For all who come. So I think this leaves us with a choice. I'm pretty simple with my choices. I narrowed it down. We got two choices here. Okay? Y'all might be able to think of others, but to me it just seems real cut and dry. It says we can either try to do everything ourselves and we'll continue failing because we don't have the power, and then asking God to fix it later. Isn't that how we handle prayer most of the time? We try to do it ourselves first, and then whenever we fail, we go, well, I guess failed every other way. I guess I'll pray now. Yeah. We had a deacon in the last church I was in. He liked to put things like it was. His name's Jack Pogue, and he said, yeah, sure, mess everything up, and then ask him to fix it. Amen. Every time that we'd get everything messed up, we'd go to prayer. He always had that just a little reminder. So... Our here's the second choice, and I think this is the better one. We can pray first, okay? If we pray first, and then we get God's plan, then we'll have his power to accomplish his will. Amen. That sounds like a winner, okay? That sounds like a winner. So let's pray first. Let's not say, well, we've done all else, now we'll pray. Let's say we ain't going to do nothing else till we pray. Let's pray first. Let's do the prayer first. Let's get the game plan here, and then let's go as God leads us. You know what? Did you notice how whenever Jesus talked about it, he said, I'm not just praying for the world, okay? I'm praying for those who trust me. He prays for his children different than he prays for those who are not his children. Okay? Now, he wants them to come to him. He'll hear their prayer when they do. I guarantee it. He said he will not turn anybody away. My question for you, are you one of his children? Because not all prayers are heard the same. I pray you are one of his children. Do you know what? If you're not, the Bible gives a blanket invitation. Amen. It says, to all who believe in him, to all who trust in his name, this is John 1:12, he gives the right to become children of God. All you got to do is trust in the name of Jesus. Turn your life over to him. Let him be your Lord. He's not going to force himself on you. Then you can be a child of God. That prayer he just prayed in John 17 is for his children. I want you to be covered by that prayer. Are you a child of God? If you're not, do it today. Confess your sins. Agree with God. Turn your life over to him. He can be your father. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, just pray that you'll help us to be in the right place that we might pray to you. And then, as your people, we will pray. It will be our primary function. It'll be our number one desire. It will be the reason why we exist as a church, is to be a house of prayer. It will be the reason why we exist as a Christian, the temple of the Holy Spirit, so that we will be a house of prayer for all nations. Let your house be a house of prayer for all nations. We see it was something you were very zealous for. Zeal for your house had burned you up, as the Old Testament said. And we saw it played out when you walked on the earth. Number one thing you were concerned about, two times you went in and cleansed that temple because they were not a house of prayer. Lord, please help us to be a house of prayer. We don't want you to have to forcibly clean us. Lord, help us to be willingly praying people. And Lord, for those who do spend time in prayer, I praise you for that. But I can assure each and every one of us, Lord, that we can still grow in that. So help us to grow in that prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Purge me from every sin. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Help me the lost to win. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, it is no longer mine. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, I would be wholly thine. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, purge me from every sin. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, help me the lost to win. Speak to my heart, speak to my heart, speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, speak to my heart today.
You know how God speaks to our heart, don't you? It's when we take time to pray and listen, right? He speaks to our heart through the Word as we take time and listen. It's going to take a sacrifice of time. But I can tell you, I wouldn't be a Christian today. I truly believe this if my wife had to take time to pray for me. She got so discouraged and she was trying to change me. She was really doing her best. You know, you can't change another person, though. I can tell you what changed me is whenever she started really getting serious about prayer and God started really working in my heart. It was huge. And she was actually praying through the Scripture for me. She was praying through the book of Psalms. And she was turning every psalm into a prayer for me. And so whenever you have tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and tried, you got to know God's the one who can actually do it. So turn it over to Him. Let's do it quicker, too. You know what I'm saying? Let's do it quicker. So we'll have opportunities to pray here at the church. In fact, most Wednesday nights, you know, we dedicate the whole service to Bible study and prayer upstairs. It's a wonderful time. You don't have to pray out loud. I want you to know that. It's okay. But when you're ready and you want to pray out loud, it's there. But you can just silently agree as we go around the prayer groups. Really, guys, I think that the more that we get in line with God, the more miracles we're going to see Him do around us. I really do. It ain't that He doesn't have the power. He's just waiting for us to ask a lot of times. It's part of that relationship. So now, next week, what we're really going to focus in on is how the Godhead, you know, the Trinity of God works in this whole prayer thing. And so I think you're really going to be interested in that. Now, tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll be going through the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to be talking about the second chapter. So I want you all to come for that as well, because I think that's right where our country is right now, the second chapter of Jeremiah. I think we can really identify where our nation is. But at this point, we want to see, does anybody have any birthdays that they want to admit to?
Birthdays.